A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another bonus episode of the Paul Ryder Tapes. In this episode, we have a lovely interview with two lovely people who Paul worked with at the end of the 1990s and in the early 2000s. There's the legendary remixer producer Lee Duval, who's based in Warrington, and the mighty Himmett, who Paul always called the guru, who amongst other things is the percussion player in Fab band M Vita, that's Manchester vibe in the area, with Alfonso Buller. Both are great people and they've got some fab stories to tell.
Yeah, my name's Lee Duval. I'm a remixer producer. I've done remixes for people like Atomic Kitten, Nigel Kennedy, and I eventually did some remixes for Paul Ryder, who had his band Big Arm at the time.
I'm Himmett, the percussionist from MV, Manchester Vibes in the area. And my front man is Alfonso Buller. And he was in Cornwall. And while he was in Cornwall, I decided to take on a music production course. And while I was on this music production course, on the dinner break, somebody over the table says to me, "Are you Himmett from Envita?" So I lifted my head up and looked, and it was Horse. I said, "Yeah, it's me." So and I said, "Is that you, Paul?" He said, "It's me, Paul, and Gaz." I couldn't believe that they were there as well. And I thought to myself, "What's going on here?" So on the dinner break, we went for a pint. We had a roll-up, and that was it. We hit it off like three naughty kids together.
The guru.
The guru. He used to call you the guru. I did know you as Himmett, but you were the guru.
There's a reggae artist in Jamaica called Black Uhuru.
Right, yeah.
Right. So Horse said, "Let's call you Black Uhuru." So we had fun, you know, like I said, Angela, we were like three naughty kids. And I started asking him questions about people who we knew in a notorious nightclub in Moss Side called the Reno. And there was a guy in there called X, and we used to call him Assassin, who was a drug dealer, a notorious guy. And we all used to go to him back in the day then, in the late 70s.
I never went.
Well, I did. But that was it, yeah. And I said to him, "Should we write a track about this guy, Assassin?" He says to me, "Yeah, let's do it." He loved it. He loved that really hardcore... Do you know what I mean? Underground stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of polished and all that type of stuff. So he says, "Yeah, let's do a track about Assassin." So I've written the track about Assassin. We did it. And then the second track was, he says, "Well, what else can we do now?" So I'm reading the paper, the local paper on a dinner break. And it said, Salford Ram Raiders. And all the warehouses are getting done in. So I says to Horse, I says, "Horse, I says, we're going to write a track about Ram Raiders." in Salford. All your boys, all your crew. And he says to me, yeah, let's do it. So I've written, I penned some lyrics down, a few ideas, a skeleton of a structure. And then I said to him, I've got a producer friend of mine called Lee Duval. And I'd like you to come outside of college to Lee's house, to his studio, where we can continue working and writing. So he says, yeah, let's do it. So we came down here, I introduced him to Lee.
When Emmett brought Paul to my house, and I'll always call him Paul, I never call him Horse. And the simple reason is, my mum was here, and he walks in. Now, I've been doing dance music, I didn't know who the Happy Mondays were, and it sounds mental, but I used to listen to heavy metal, and then got into dance music. So I didn't know who the Mondays were, and Emmett was like, I'm bringing Horse down from the Mondays. And I'm thinking, who's that? Do you know what I mean? Oh, he's a bass player. All right, okay, bring him down. So he turns up, and Emmett goes, and my mum's there. And Emmett goes, this is Horse. And my mum's from Salford. And she goes, I'm not bloody calling you Horse. What's your bloody proper name? And he goes, Paul. And he goes, I'll call you bloody Paul. And Lee, you're calling him Paul too. So I always call him Paul. So he brought him down and we started doing sort of tracks. We did the Kofi Annan track, then we ended up doing Ram Raiders. And I ended up speaking to Paul. I'm like, have you done any other music? And he goes, oh yeah, I'm in a band, the Mondays. I'm like, don't know it. He goes, oh, you know, mentioned Sean. I've heard of Bez because I've seen him on TV. But weirdly, I knew who Rowetta was, because my friend had used Rowetta for doing some vocals, and Graham Turner and Mark Hall from Graham's in Flippin' Phil, now Mark's in Flippin' Phil. But they'd had a band called Bus Stop, and Rowetta had done some session singing for him called Hey Mr. DJ. So I knew her from there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know who she is, sort of thing. I just thought he was a normal guy, I just thought he was just some bass player guy. Didn't know he was in a big band.
He had no inclination that he was a big superstar.
You could just have a chat on a general level with him. But, you know, we did tracks together, like Paul at my house and stuff like that. And when you write music together, you get a bond. Yes. No matter how, you know, you could be doing a track for half a day or something. Yes. But if you've created something together and you liked it, you have a bond for life. And that's what I had with Paul. Later on, I got ill, like with cancer and stuff like that. And, you know, Paul was like a real shining light in a dark time for me. And so were you, Angela. You know, like he gave me the opportunity to remix Flashbacks, which I remixed for him. And him and Bez used to play it out when they were doing DJ gigs together. Because I was ill at the time, it just gave me a sense of purpose. You know, because when you're ill, and especially when you've got cancer, you find that all your true friends will stick by you and contact you and stuff like that. And I know who my true friends are, and all the others will just run because they don't know, maybe they don't know how to handle it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But he was there. He invited me to his gigs, put me on the guest list for the Mondays.
But then you were able to return that, weren't you, a few years later?
Yeah, I mean, for me, get upset now.
I know, you're making
Paul was a good friend. Paul was a good friend, and to find out, you know, his child got cancer and go through a really bad cancer was horrific. Now, obviously, Paul's like a superstar and they all change the numbers all the time. You can never get hold of them. Obviously, you were on Facebook and I went through your journey on Facebook. And yeah. It was just, you know, I seen Chico, how ill he was getting, how much you were looking after him. And, you know, because I've been in Chico's position.
Yeah.
Trying to put myself, now I had kids, in the position you were in. Yeah. Watching your child with that, you know.
But you were, you were trying to send positive vibes. You were really
all the
supportive.
Time.
It really meant a lot at the time to me. I mean, that's it. When you're going through a crisis like that, anything, any gestures really mean a lot to you. Like it really helps you. You know, get through.
Well, I thought I was being sort of, you know, like sometimes you think you can be too pushy.
No, you were amazing. I'll never forget that. I'll always be grateful to you for how you were. No, it's what friendship's all about, isn't it? You know,
But Paul, yeah, you do. But like, you know, I was ill and Paul had his gig in Manchester and he said, "Are you coming to the gig?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't feel well." And he said, "Come on, it'd be great. You'll feel better if you come to the gig." And I remember, like, I can't even remember, it was in the centre of Manchester, he did his big arm gig. I remember he was outside smoking his cigarette and like, eh. And we were just having a chat outside of the back of this place where it was. And it was just nice, you know, seeing him on stage and hearing the music live and stuff like that. It was just, he was a really special person. Down to earth.
Yeah.
You know,
And loads of creativity because he was grounded and he had his feet on the ground and all that.
Everyone loved him.
The creativity was there. He was like a rock. He was solid.
Well, you could talk to people. You could say, like, I know, like, doing like remixes for Nigel Kennedy, and we were doing sort of like some dance mixes on his classical stuff. And I said to Nigel, "Do you know Paul Ryder for the Mondays?" "Oh yeah, I know Paul. Yeah, it was great." And there was that connection. And there was another thing that Paul did. Paul knew I was just like a little remixer. I wasn't a big name or anything like that. But he put me in contact with Gaz Aston at Adidas. You know, he'd help you.
To do well.
To keep things back. He'd lift you up. He was the person that would get you and lift you up to make you better. We loved him, didn't we? He was amazing.
He was a nice, creative, grounded soul and a very, very nice person. I can't say any more than that.
Everyone loves him.
And it was great to know that he knew some of the people who I knew and shared in my life and that. So that's where our connection happened, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Can you tell me a bit about what it was like when you were all working together, what the dynamic was like? Or do you have any good anecdotes of things that happened when you were working together? Just funny stories that you might remember.
I remember one, and we were remixing, and he was in rehab at the time. And I always remember him saying it. He said, and I'll swear now, and I'll try and do a Salford accent. You never fucking guess who I'm in fucking rehab with. Guess who's my fucking best mate in rehab? And I went, "Who? Tara fucking Palmer Tomkinson." I'm like, that was when he was in London. And I thought, you can't get two people at the opposite side. You got a guy from sort of like Salford who's mates with someone that's related to the Queen or whatever, you know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and another thing he says to me, I said to him, "Listen," I said, "when we finish this course and all that," I said, "we'll have options and stuff. We can do a bit of teaching and help out in the community." Because that's what I did. I went and did a bit of young offenders. I went and worked with young offenders, gun bangers, you know, the gangs. I went and got them kids, "Come here, get over there, come to the guru. The guru will sort you out."
Brilliant. Are you still doing that?
No, I'm not doing that now. I did it for, I teached for about 4 years and then I went back into Envita with Alfonso. So that's where I am now. You know, we're doing an album. You know, we're doing a bit of writing now at the moment. And then we'll be going out and taking it out on the show.
Excellent.
But I said to him, "Listen, we'll be able to do some teaching, horse, and all that." He says, "There's only one thing I can teach you, Hims." So I says, "What's that?" He says, "To take drugs." And I says to him, "I'll see you in a bit."
You must have witnessed some of that. Did you? Were you aware of what he was doing, or that it was a problem? Or
no, I wasn't aware because like I wasn't around that sort of scene.
Yeah, I broke out that scene as well.
I remember when Emmett brought Paul to our house, and he was sweating a bit, and he was smoking a lot.
Yeah.
And I know he drank lots of Coca-Cola, and like, him said to me, you know, he's coming off the H or whatever word you said it was.
Yeah, the gear.
And I'm like, what gear is he wearing? I thought he was on about clothes. I had no idea of heroin or how, because he didn't look like a drug addict to me. I wasn't aware of him drug taking.
How worried were you about his drug taking? Did you, as a friend, were you worried for him, or did you think he would just get through it?
Well, personally, because I've not been around that sort of thing, I didn't really know how bad it was. I've obviously seen people smoke weed and have ease and that sort of stuff, but I've never, you know, hard drugs like heroin or crack or whatever. I don't even know what he was on or trying to get off. I had no experience with it, but Emmett, you had experience. You told me.
I got on with all.
That's
what brought me and off together. I mean, and I could be a role model and an example to him to show that you could come away from that road. You can make a change. Mm. There is another side as well, Horse. You don't have to stay there. You've got to change the record. You've got to move on. I had 3 years with that stuff in my side in the 70s and all that on that substance thingy, on that and the other stuff as well, the nostril stuff. So I had my little period on that thingy, and I come out of it, and like I took off to India and all that to go and get my help, because the medical system down here wasn't really, they couldn't do it. They were just giving me more and more drugs, different drugs, and just topping me up with things. So I took, my journey took me to India, where I got introduced to the Babas, and again, the yoga, the vegetarianism, so the diet change, a complete lifestyle change, helped me to get on the path of recovery.
You were in a wheelchair, weren't you?
I got wheelchaired up, yeah, because I got a tumour in the bottom of my spine. But then after all the yoga, and I teached yoga for 12 years as well, because I wanted to share. I worked with addicts from my side. I used to say, send them to my class in Didsbury, and I'll work with them. So I did 12 years of humanitarian service to people on the streets, Angela, of bringing them into my classes, and I would detoxify him.
If he was in California, he'd have a gold jet now and gold glasses.
Oh, just shut it.
He'd have followers and everything.
No, it was about helping people to change. And yeah. You've got to warm the T-shirt to understand them. So I'd already done that. Yeah. I worn the T-shirt. I went through it. I knew what that stuff was about. And I knew that it weren't no good. You had to get away from it.
Right. And was he receptive to what you had to tell him?
He liked that. He liked that positive. He liked that positive talking and all that. He liked that. Yeah. And he could relate to me from the past of the Reno, because I was involved in all that as well earlier on.
Yeah.
And I'd moved away from all that.
Right.
So right. I was kind of a bit of an inspiration for him to kind of like, if there was a road to follow, then leave that road alone and let's get on this road. Get away from it and get back into your music and get back into your beautiful art and work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Get into.
Yeah.
So off the back of that, they did the track Ram Raiders.
Yeah.
very spiritual
track. Ram Raiders, you know, balaclavas, guns, a lot.
It was like a bit of a fun sort of track, and we thought no one's ever going to put this on radio.
Because it was so violent.
It's got a police helicopter. So, you know, we just had a laugh doing it.
Fun. Yeah, you know, like you said, did you have fun, Angela? You said earlier on, what kind of fun did you have? That was the fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. And if you listen to Paul's bass line, we've got the bass line.
Time stretched it,
so it doesn't sound like his bass.
Oh, interesting.
Distorted it, and I did all sorts of stuff with another guy called Paddle. He worked on it as well. But Jason Barron, he died. He was part of the PWL Manchester. So a lot of people, if Jason was here, he'd probably tell you the same.
Yeah, he was a great guy. He was a great guy.
Yeah, they're both great guys. When you're older, you lose contact with people. You still think they're there. Like Imre, I just think he'll be there all the time. And Paul, I think he'll be there all the time.
Life's tough, isn't it? It's just a series of challenges, isn't it, that you have to navigate one after another. You think you're cool, and then something else comes from the side.
Well, one thing I've learned is you can't take your friends for granted. You've just got to, if you've got a friend and you've not heard from them for ages, and you think tomorrow I'll see him in the pub next week or whatever, just reach out to him. Say, "Hi, mate, how are you?" That's it. And you know, don't have any regrets, because we've got regrets, you know, from, you know, we lost contact with Jason, lost contact with Paul, but Paul's a bit of a different kettle of fish, because he's a rock and roll star and they change all the numbers all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Facebook's getting closed down.
The only reason Paul changed his number all the time was because he kept breaking his phone or losing his phone or changing his call. He wouldn't do it to avoid people.
I know. But they're very sparse on Facebook
Okay, so how will you remember Paul? What will be your most strong memory about him?
My standout memory about Paul was not being the rock star or anything like that, but not having an ego, of just being a genuinely nice, down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
Who you could contact, and he'd give you advice and help you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We were crying when we found out about that.
Yeah, yeah. Aww. I found phones open, I was crying. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah. How did you find out about it?
Somebody called me and said, that Paul Ryder's died. So I said, what? And then I phoned Fonzo up, my front man, and I said, Fonzo, I said, I've just heard that Paul Ryder's died. He said, yeah, it's on, you know, because it's on the social medias,
right. Yeah.
On the Facebooks.
Yeah.
I'm not on the Facebooks or any of that, Angela.
Yeah.
So I got the news, kind of, and as soon as I got the news, I rang my front man up, who's on social media, and I said, soon, I was crying.
Yeah.
I says, I can't believe it. I says, Paul's passed away. I says, well, it can't be true, this man. And then he says to me, it's part of life, hymns. And, you know, Fonzo tried to console me then and bring me down. But I was crying my eyes out, because it really touched me.
Yeah.
It really hurt me right in the heart. It got me, that one, because I weren't expecting that.
I found out through... I follow Rowetta on Facebook, and she posted it, and I had to, time stopped for me.
It's just guts, you know.
The funeral, I found out when the funeral was, and I said to him, we've got to represent, we've got to go. He would have wanted us there. So he was really ill that day.
Emphysema attack.
Yeah.
You obviously see comments online about, it must have been drugs and stuff like that. And that winds me up, because I never saw Paul as a drug addict.
A lot of people jumped to that conclusion, and a lot of the papers did, and that was upsetting, yeah. Wasn't it?
He never did it in front of us, Angela.
Well, I wouldn't want Paul like to be share, remembered.
I want to share one thing with you. All the time that we were around him, he never, whatever once, did that in front of us.
He smoked.
He smoked six. Yeah. He'd have a pint. He liked a pint, and he liked a six.
He never drank pints in front of me. Pints of Coke.
Well, he used to like a pint of beer when we was at college.
Well, that was your influence, but I want people to remember Paul as a nice guy, a beautiful human being who would help people.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, I mean, I know the papers picked up on like the drugs and stuff, but that was when, you know, in the younger days and stuff like that. But the guy had a family, you know, he had people who loved him, he had friends who loved him, and everyone that knew him and everyone that's speaking or will speak about him are doing it in their own time because they love Paul. You know, he was a really, really nice guy.
He's just a legend, isn't he? A living legend, isn't he? Beautiful. Beautiful person.
I remember bumping into you, Himmett, at a gig, and Paul going, "It's the guru! It's the guru!" And he was so excited to introduce me to you. The guru's here! The guru!
I hope he spoke in Indian. He's the only Indian with a proper Manc accent.
Oh, that Northern accent. Oh, God's sake. Can't get rid of it. There's nothing I can do. I've been to see doctors all over the world. They can't get rid of it. They said there's nothing we can do.
But did he invent the name the guru, or were you called that anyway? Was it just Paul that called you?
No,
that?
People used to call me Alfonso named me the guru of house music.
Right.
Because I was playing the percussion and all that and all that. And so it's the Sikh guru, the Milayan, Himmett. You know, and that's how they called me the guru, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then that kind of carried on. And then when we was in the college and we did the tracks in the college, from just calling me guru, we kind of like messed around with the words and Blacker Guru. You know, from Blacker Guru to Blacker Guru. You know what Paul was like with words and messing around and stuff like that. So just for the college course, they called me Blacker Guru because they were very witty. Oh man, there was never a dull moment. We were like three naughty kids at school, and every day the laughter, belly fulls of laughter and jokes and stuff on teachers, on anything that moved in the college, anything, we'd be on it.
Yeah.
And so there was never a dull moment, Angela. I just like to share that one with you. You know, like there's too much for me to talk about, you know, because we were laughing every day.
Yeah. How was Paul as a student in the class?
He was good.
Was he?
Yeah. He was quiet. He'd just take his, you know, we'd sit down, we'd listen to what they had to say and all that. And then as soon as 12 o'clock came, it was straight to the pub. We couldn't wait to get out of there and go in the pub and sit down there and talk about, you know, the past and Reno days and all notorious people.
Right.
So... Paul would love that interaction and that banter.
Yeah.
So I'd sit there and talk to him about the past. Do you remember him? Do you remember him? Oh, of course I remember him.
Yeah, but I remember he used to do that, but he also, like, him, like, even though he does music, he's a very good person to get some spiritual guidance from and make you feel better. So Paul's the same. He's a real nice guy. Same with him. So I think Paul drew towards him because you get the good out of people.
Yeah.
That's what you're very good at.
Yeah.
And giving advice.
He was great. He came to my house.
Spiritual advice.
He got on with my wife as well, Stella and all that. She loved him. Everybody liked him. We liked him. Yeah. All my kids and family, we all loved him. Yeah.
Thank you both so much. Really, really appreciate. Thank you, really appreciate you giving your time and being part of this. Paul, absolutely love both of you. And like I said, I've never heard a bad word. Always really positive stuff about both of you. So
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we've only got positives.
To say about him and you and all of you. So yeah.
Well, let's celebrate him by playing Ram Raiders, shall we? I think we need to have Ram Raiders played for sure. That's all we've got for you this week. We're playing out with the fab track Ram Raiders that they mentioned earlier. These songs are going to be released soon on a compilation that we're putting together featuring an array of tracks that Paul wrote with various collaborators throughout the years. You know the drill by now. Please subscribe so that you don't miss out on anything. Give us a nice review, please, please, please. And check out the website, paulrider.tv, where you'll find lots and lots of goodies and things that you'd like to know. Lots of love and thanks go to Lee and Himmet for being truly special souls. And as usual, of course, thanks to the big man himself, the late and great Paul Anthony Ryder. See you all next week. Lots of love.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.